So joining us to discuss this is the finance minister who is running to be re-elected as a Conservative MP for Whitby, Oshawa. Jim Flaherty, welcome back to the House.
Pleasure, Kathleen.
So this is what I think a lot of people are wondering. Here you can balance the books a full year ahead of schedule, according to the Prime Minister. Not just balance it, but have like a multi-billion dollar surplus to boot. And you got to wonder how you managed to figure out a way to do that when less than 3 weeks ago you were projecting a small deficit for that same year.
What is different here? We mentioned in the budget we're going to do a strategic and operating review. We're going to look at the operating expenses of government. It hasn't been done in 15 years. It's about $80 billion. And we're looking to save about 5% on that, so that's about $4 billion. We're now taking that into account. We'll get the work done in the next year, assuming the Canadian voters reelect us, and then we'll have some savings in the outer years. And that gives us enough room that we're able to do the family tax reduction. We're able to do that, and we'll also balance in 2014.
But my question really was, why did you figure out a way to do this 2.5 weeks after the budget as opposed to having it in the budget?
No, the strategic review that we've looked at is something we talked about in the 4 months that we worked on the budget. And Canadians have seen, we've all seen, that government seems to grow like Topsy. There are just more and more public servants, more and more programs and initiatives. We haven't looked at it in 15 years in the largest organization in the country, which is the federal government. So we want to do it. And I didn't build it into the budget fiscal track because we don't have the savings yet. And we're booking nothing for 2011, 2012. That's the year where we're going to develop the program. After that, in the platform, we can make some allowances and bring that in, which is what allows us in the outer years to have some leeway.
So the platform says it can find $11 billion worth of savings doing what you just said, these strategic reviews and restraint on program spending as well. That seems like an awful lot of money with not a lot of real detail to sort of back it up and prove that you can actually do it.
Yeah, it was a lot of money. I mean, the federal government is a large government, but it's 5% on the operating side. And it's not $11 billion. What it is $4 billion per year at maturity. That's 5% of $80 billion. Cumulatively over the years, it adds up, of course.
To 11.
But yeah, for a particular year, it's 4. And we will use that to do the family income sharing that we've committed to once we balance the budget. We'll have room to pay down public debt, which we want to get back to doing since we're through the recession now.
Also, people are wondering about the money for harmonization, the HST, with Quebec. Everyone seems to be sort of shrugging that off. Oh, it's $2.2 billion. We can absorb that. No big deal. Really? I thought $2.2 billion was a lot of money.
It is to me, Kathleen. It affects our budget balance. We've booked it in now for partly in 2011-12, partly in 2012-13. We have to finalize the negotiations with Quebec, and the payments may be made in 2 or 3 payments over time. So we've taken some of that into account this fiscal year, some in the next fiscal year, and it has meant the deficits will be a little bit higher in both years. But we keep the track going. That is, every year going forward, we reduce the deficit by at least 25%, and that gets us to balance, as I say, in 2014.
So 2 or 3 payments over time. So what fiscal years are we talking about?
This year and next year.
This year and next year. And will it be 2.2?
It may be a little bit less than that. I've had in my negotiations with Minister Bachon in Quebec, we've used a couple of figures. We haven't arrived at a firm figure, but in that neighborhood.
Now, let's talk about health care, because Stephen Harper this week, along with the Liberals, and we know the NDP as well, have all agreed to maintain health care transfers to the provinces to 6% as the escalator year over year after 2014, which is when the accord expires. But it's not found in the platform. It's not found in the budget except as an assumption in 2015-16 that says that it's subject to discussion or review. So I'm not quite sure how this is all being costed out.
Well, it is. I can assure you that the 6% increase is built into the fiscal track. That is, we go forward when we budget and look at make certain assumptions. We have assumed 6% on an ongoing basis for the Canada Health Transfer, and we're committed to that.
For how many years?
Well, until 2014, and then thereafter. Now, we have to negotiate.
But what's thereafter? That's the part I'm asking.
Thereafter is at least 2 years now, but we will move out. We do 5 years at a time in the fiscal track. so in the next budget we'll be out another year. We need to negotiate with the province and say, how long an agreement do you want? A 5-year agreement, a 10-year agreement, a 2-year agreement? There'll be different views, I expect, among the provinces. But our assumption is 6%.
So that is to say that really all that the Conservative Party is committing to is to extend that 6% escalator into 15-16, but there's no commitment to do it beyond that.
Well, we'll see how long the agreement would be. We will keep it at 6% for whatever the duration of the agreement is. What you asked me was how long would the agreement be? Well, I don't know. We'll have to talk to all the provinces about that. It could be 2 years, 5 years, whatever. Whatever it is, 6%.
For however many years it ends up being.
Yes, that's right, Catherine.
Okay, let's talk about corporate tax cuts. Clearly an issue in the campaign. The Liberals and NDP are rolling them back. The NDP rolling back even farther than the Liberals. Now, it's a policy that, as you know, economist Jack Mintz argues would cost hundreds of thousands of jobs, a point that actually reminded me of a conversation that you and I had on January 15th of this year. So take a listen to part of that. Is there a calculation? Is there an actual number you can correspond to a corporate tax cut in terms of $1 billion cut? How many jobs created? You're saying substantial, but do you have a number?
No, you can't do an arithmetical calculation because there are other variables that come into place, including, for example, confidence in the government's fiscal plan of returning to balanced budgets over time. So it's not a simple arithmetical calculation.
So, Mr. Flaherty, then this week the Prime Minister suggested that there was empirical evidence to show that tax cuts created jobs, and Elizabeth May's arguing that they don't, and you're saying that there is no calculation. Jack Mintz says that there is. I'm just trying to figure out, how do you measure the impact of corporate tax cuts on jobs created or jobs lost? There seems to be confusion here.
Well, you can't do a precise arithmetical calculation. You just can't because there are too many factors. There's a real economy out there. Government policies provide incentives. The incentives we're providing to small business, for example, through the EI program in the budget that I presented in Parliament. There are other things that happen in the real economy. There's a rate of real growth. There's inflation. There are all of these considerations that affect businesses' decisions about hiring and expanding. One thing is absolutely clear. When businesses have more money to invest, when we leave them with more money to invest, and they do grow their businesses. And growing their businesses, they hire people. One cannot say precisely how many people are hired, but we know we have 480,000 net new jobs in this country since the end of the recession. That's the best per capita in the advanced economies.
But I guess what I'm wondering is, how can Jack Mintz calculate how many jobs would be lost if we can't calculate how many jobs would be created?
Well, his assumption, he makes an assumption, as all economists do, they're in the business of making assumption. He makes an assumption of a reduction of, I think it was $50 billion in capital investment by business. And if you have that kind of reduction in capital investment, there will be a job loss that will follow on that.
My final question is some of the promises that the Conservatives have made that are out into the future, whether it's income splitting for families or the doubling of the tax-free savings account, things that will happen, your party says, after the budget is balanced. It is asking people to make a leap of faith, and you and other parties have broken faith on election promises before. So why should Canadians have faith in those promises?
Well, I think you raise a very legitimate question. My concern, I know our party's concern, the Prime Minister's concern, is that we do not make promises that we could not do in a mandate. So assuming we get a majority government, we will be there 4 years. These are things that we're committed to doing within the 4-year period, and fiscally they make sense within the 4-year period. And first of all, we will balance the budget. We will not make promises out 5, 6, 7 years. We will make promises that we can perform within the mandate, and Canadians can judge us the next time we have an election.
Jim Flaherty, good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Pleasure, Kathleen.
Jim Flaherty is a Conservative candidate in Whitby, Oshawa. Now, tomorrow, CNDP's turn to release its